Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer.
And I'm Araceli Gomez-Aldana. In mid-September, the national music scene descended on Fort Wayne for the Middle Waves Music Festival at Headwaters Park. Nearly 30 acts, food trucks, workshops, and a vendor village all helped make the event a success.
Middle Waves Festival organizer Matt Kelly joins us now. Matt, welcome to our studios.
Happy to be here.
It is possible to see many different acts at Middle Waves without paying admission. Attendees only needed a ticket for the St. Mary's stage. Despite that, can you tell us how many people attended Middle Waves?
Yeah, we're confident we had 6,000 people over the weekend, and that was an increase by about 1,500 from last year. And it certainly, this year we were able to experience, especially on Saturday, a lot of folks kind of coming early, leaving, coming back even, you know, so folks came early with the kids and then came back by themselves for a date.
It's easy to get back and forth, either crossing the MLK Bridge or a short walk from the south, even with 6,000 in attendance.
It's definitely, you know, we wanted to take advantage of the entire park and have something happening kind of wherever you were. But really thinking of it as kind of grazing, right? Like people can kind of make their own experience, and whether that's the live music on three stages or some of the experiential things we did or the food and beverages, it was kind of choose your own adventure in that way.
Let's focus on the music and the acts. Middle Waves was one of the most diverse music festivals I've ever seen. Is that the goal in putting the lineup together? You can have a local indie rock band at one moment, and then the same stage will have hip-hop and R&B.
Yeah, it's very intentional, very curated. There's a booking committee that's our chair is Corey Rader, who owns the Brass Rail. But yeah, we're intentional about how we program each stage. And, you know, I think that what music festivals that are contemporary music festivals that are kind of indie festivals do is it's kind of reflective of the Spotify, Apple Music culture of people are okay these days with going from Kendrick Lamar to Radiohead to the Avett Brothers in a mix, mm-hmm. right? And it's less kind of genre specific than it used to be. I'm kind of an album guy. You know, I like to listen to albums in their entirety rather than a big shuffle. But I think that the festival reflects that, right? And it's okay. You know, you could see Rosalind in the Way, and then you could see Roe, and then you could see Radio Yarocho. And people were into all three of those, right? And they're very diverse and different kinds of music. You know, we're pretty intentional about wanting to expose people to new and different things. You know, if you come there for one artist or one kind of music, you're going to hear other things too. And we're, you know, seeking to kind of push people and you know, kind of broaden horizons, I guess, or get folks kind of, you know, curious about another genre that they had never really looked at before.
On Friday of the festival, I asked if there were any artists who really exceeded your expectations. Now with time to reflect, any pleasant surprises you'd like to share? Flynn Eastwood being one of them.
You know, she's one certainly that we booked and felt like we were getting somebody, you know, who's about to break, right? And we do all of our research. I mean, we're certainly not just listening to, we look at their, you know, their plays on various platforms and their likes. But we also look for live performance footage. And so I think we were pretty confident with Flint Eastwood, but a friend of ours who was on the marketing committee, Jasmine Behar, went to a show down in Indy about a month and a half ago, three-band bill, and Flint was, I think, the middle act, but not the headliner, and at the Murat. And she said she just ruled and made everyone forget about the headliner. So that was kind of our inkling of, we started telling people then, like, you know, this is one you're not going to want to miss. And certainly you didn't want to miss that. I just felt the performances were tremendous across the board. You know, I felt like Lemon Twigs was another one where we knew, like, boy, if we can get people to, you know, if you're into, and it's like about anything good, you know, if you're into the Beatles, if you're into Beach Boys, if you like melody, if you like harmony, if you like energy, you know, go see this act. And they just, you know, they were just contagious for people.
They captured an era between just some of the complicated soloing on the guitar and, oh, by the way, they're both amazing drummers too. From a showman's perspective and a musician's perspective, the Lemon Twigs were fantastic.
And you listen to the, either how talented they are on their instruments or the quality of their songwriting, and it's like, it's two brothers. So the Lemon Twigs are led by two brothers, and I don't think either one's 20 yet. And then that's just like shocking, because they're up there, like they could be in the middle of their career, you know, and they're just beginning.
When you repeat an event, you're able to start making comparisons. So what would you say were some of the areas of greatest improvement from last year to this year?
Yeah, so it's our second year, and you know, there are a couple things that the festival is working on. One is, you know, kind of what are we as a business? We're a nonprofit entity that works underneath Arch United, and Arch United has been a tremendous partner for us to help kind of handle the, they're our, you know, fiscal agent, and that has allowed us to focus on the festival instead of that side of things. We're going to figure out what we're doing next. You know, Arch United is kind of incubating us. But this year it was like, well, let's make the festival better, the festival experience, and then we'll get to that side of things. And so really, we survey all of our patrons. We want all feedback that we can get, and we survey our volunteers. What's working? What are you hearing? And we used all that feedback from 2016 for this year's festival. And a lot of it's just like kind of small things, like let's make sure the distance between ticketing and wristbands is as short as possible. It was kind of confusing last year. Or let's make sure we have multiple exits in this capacity or whatever, just kind of logistics things. Are there enough toilets in this area, et cetera, et cetera. But also then the things that people liked. They liked, you know, it is a music festival, but there's much more happening than that. And folks liked to just hang out too. And hanging out meant checking out art experiences and all the food options, the vendors, et cetera. So we really went bigger with that this year too. So a lot more of what our team called Vibe. And also, I mean, we just frankly had vendors who last year we were trying to beg them to be there, and this year folks were saying, I have to be there, you know, which was exciting for us.
This festival wouldn't be possible without volunteers. How many volunteers did you have this year, and next year do you expect to need even more?
Yeah, well, so we have our steering committee, which is our board, is 11 people, and then we each kind of chair different committees, and those committees total about 50 people, and those 50 are working on the festival pretty much all year long. You know, we'll take about a month off right now, I think, and kind of stretch our toes. But then the actual weekend of volunteers are 300 positions, and we filled all those with about 200 people. So many people signed up for multiple shifts and really wanted to support the festival in any way they could. And all of us are volunteers throughout it. So it's but, you know, even those volunteer kind of orientation meetings are just really cool because of the, that's when it started feeling to us like, oh boy, the festival's about to happen, because the energy in that room was amazing, and people were so excited to be a part of it.
I can't ask about the acts you might be getting for next year, even if those conversations are already happening, but after two successful years, are there any plans to expand in your location or perhaps add another day to Middle Waves?
I think we feel pretty good right now about the space that we're in. I think we've got a little bit of capacity to grow still, which is exciting, and we love being... Parks and Rec has been tremendous to us, and Headwaters Park, and we like to have an alignment with Riverfront Fort Wayne, and we really feel like we're, you know, part of all that momentum, which is exciting for us. We want to call Headwaters home. We do, you know, it's difficult because we're the same weekend as Johnny Appleseed, and we don't really want to be that because we love Johnny Appleseed Festival as well. Fortunately, that's happening Sunday too, so after we cleaned up the park, we all went down and enjoyed that, which is cool. But frankly, Headwaters Park is so booked that that's the weekend. It's not booked that weekend because of Johnny Appleseed, and that was what we had to choose from, was that weekend. It'd be nice to be closer to the, you know, maybe an August date would be, because perhaps more reliable weather-wise. And we've looked at the days too. You know, we like being a 2-day festival. Friday's kind of a half day. Should we be 2 full days? And we'll be analyzing that. As far as booking, it is, you know, many of the agents are already saying, hey, we're booking festivals next year, so tell us what you're thinking already. And that's exciting. And it's really cool that they're telling us that, because their performers are going back and saying, we had an incredible experience at Middle Waves. And it really, I mean, it's such a cliche, the Hoosier hospitality thing, but it is like they feel so taken care of by the Middle Waves team, but also, you know, many of them perform and then just go walk around the festival, and our patrons go up and thank them for coming to Fort Wayne and performing. And, you know, everyone from the Flaming Lips last year to many of our acts this year have said, we were just at Bonnaroo, we were just at Riot Fest, we were wherever, and you took care of us so much better than they did, and your crowd is so thankful we're here that we play better because of that. And they go back and tell their booking agents that, and the booking agents then call us and say, hey, we want to get more of our acts there because it's so good for them.
Matt, thank you for coming in today and spending time with us and giving our listeners an insight into Middle Waves.
Hey, it's my pleasure, and our team is very thankful for your partnership. Thank you.
Two weeks ago on WBOI Presents, we put together a show on a retrospective look at the Middle Waves Music Festival. We made one mistake during that piece that we want to go back and correct. One of the activities tents at Middle Waves had an event for attendees where they could make flower crowns, and we incorrectly stated that the event was put on by the Botanical Conservatory. The event was actually put on by Photanical, a local organization that is a smash-up of photography and botanical interest. They specialize in these types of workshops, and you can find out more about them on the Photanical Facebook page. Middle Waves was put on for the second time this year. Many new things came to Fort Wayne in September. Araceli Gomez-Aldana has more on a new hospital, a new hotel, and a new record label.
The downtown area will see a new hospital in 2019. Lutheran Health Network announced plans to replace St. Joseph Hospital. St. Joseph Hospital was Fort Wayne's first hospital and has existed for almost 150 years. Even though it has gone through renovations, Regional President and CEO of Lutheran Health Network, Mike Poor, says the facility has its limitations.
When this hospital was built, there was no such thing as MRI. MRI is very large, it takes up space, it takes a very specific room to be built in, so we'll be able to do all of that in one place.
The network is still looking for a location and will work with the City of Fort Wayne and the Fort Wayne Redevelopment Commission to determine the best location of the new medical campus. Lutheran Health Network hopes to begin construction in 2018. They expect to finish the project in 1 year. Another addition to the downtown area will be a 125-room Hamilton Inn and Suites Hotel. The new hotel will be located across the street from the Grand Wayne Center. In a news conference, Mayor Henry said there is a need for more hotel rooms in the downtown area.
But this does open up all kinds of opportunities for the expansion of downtown and for the realization that Fort Wayne, Indiana, is a city on the move. It's a city that is worthwhile visiting.
The projected total cost of the new hotel is $20 million, and it is set to open in the summer of 2019. The University of St. Francis also announced a new music venture. They are launching a student-run music label. The goal is to give students real-life experience in signing music talent, marketing, and promotion. In a news conference, USF's Music Department Chair Miles Fulwider explained how the program will work.
We kind of give them a little bit of the foundation and some of the concepts and ideas, and then we let them flesh that out. And we're a bit of that sounding board, you know, ourselves being faculty, but also some of the outside professionals that will be involved. And
the new record label is currently looking for talent, and after an artist is selected, the students will begin producing and promoting the music. The music label will premiere its album and an artist launch party this upcoming spring. For WBOI News, I'm Araceli Gomez-Aldana. And for WBOI to do this type of reporting about what's going on in Fort Wayne, we need funding. And you are listening during our fall fund drive. We are so close to reaching our goal. I am joined by Nick Jansen.
Hey, thanks for having me, Araceli. Fall fund drives are so important. We can't produce shows like WBOI Presents without your support. We can't bring you all those great programs from NPR without your support, because we have to pay for those programs. So when you contribute to WBOI, you're supporting the news and journalism that you rely on. Check out our website, WBOI.org. That's where you can donate, and we have some great incentives there for you as well.
Nick will be joining us during our next segment to talk about his environmental coverage from this past month. We'll also have a feature from Julia Meek. Stay tuned.